from Kingdom Culture. Here's a quote from Danny Silk. He says, "Powerful people take full responsibility for the quality of life they are creating and therefore living in." So we are responsible for the quality of life that we create. We aren't victims. There is no victim mentality in Christ. So we create the quality of life that we live in. So we are responsible for that. I have another quote from someone totally different. Maya Angelou. She was a poet and a civil rights activist. She says, "If you don't like your life, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude." I like that. Sometimes we may feel we can't change our circumstances, but with Christ, all things are possible. My first point is Christ died to set us free from sin, death, fear, shame, all in order to establish us in freedom so we can live and love as God's glorious children. That's why he's died for us, so that we can live and love as his children. Galatians 5:1. I think all of these are in the Passion Translation today. Galatians 5:1. "At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past." Isn't it so much like us? We always want to go back. Go back to that garbage that we are trying to leave behind us. Freedom is very personal, but it's not self-centered. We've been given freedom so we can present ourselves to the Lord as a willing sacrifice, surrendered and ready to serve. Those all go hand in hand. A little further down in Galatians 5 is verses 13 and 14. It says, "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom, but don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operations in the natural realm." In other words, walk in the Spirit. "Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement: demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself." That's a whole sermon in itself. Freedom and responsibility are inseparable. We experience true freedom as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of self-control and use our freedom to bless others. We've been talking about recovering all for months. And I believe that fits right in with when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he gives us the, you know, you don't see the fruit of self-control. Is it listed in there, self-control? Should know this. But God gives us the self-control so we have the freedom to bless others. 1 Peter 1:13-16. "So then prepare your hearts and your minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says, 'You are to be holy because I am holy.'" I loved it when I heard Jake sing that song, talking about holiness. And you spoke about holiness seems something that was bad or unattainable? What did you say? Afraid of it, yes. But when we are in Christ, and I know you all are, but when we are in Christ, we don't have to fear that. It's attainable for us because we're in Christ and He's in us. So we are like Christ. We are responsible for partnering with the Holy Spirit to continually develop the foundation of our character so our character can support our growing influence and anointings. You know, being a Christian for 45 years plus, there's been a few things developed over the years. We don't think the same as we did when we were first born again. We don't act the same as we did. And part of that is because God helps us through the Holy Spirit to develop our character. And He gives us more influence with more anointing. Titus 2:11 and 12. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. The same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles, and as it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Again, that's Titus 2:11 and 12. So we just went through some of our core values. Environments of freedom, responsibility, and empowerment enable people to live holy, healthy, bold, and critical lives. You know, as parents, we try to raise our kids to do just that. We want them to be free, making their own decisions. We want them to take responsibility, but yet we want to enable them to have the power to make their own decisions. And as they make their own decisions, we believe that they have the ability to live holy, healthy, bold, and creative lives. Unfortunately, we see just the opposite when our kids go off to college. Oh, there's hope now. If they have had a different upbringing, and when I say different, I mean either super controlling or very lax, the two spectrums. When they get to college, they often think of nothing else but party time, spread my wings, do what I want, because they don't have they didn't have the character buildup as they were raised at home. And it's not all that, I understand, but because we all have children that do things that we don't necessarily agree with, but that's our opportunity to groom them and raise them so that when they do get to that age, they have character behind them. First John 4:17-18. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Freedom is very valuable to God. He demonstrated this when He placed a sinful choice in the Garden of Eden. So it is not our goal to remove sinful choices from people, but instead call them to freely love God and choose His righteousness. God did not create robots. And choosing reveals our hearts. That's why he gave us choice. It reveals our hearts. So when we make choices that are subpar, we need to do a heart check. Maybe we didn't think through whatever it was that we chose enough. Maybe we didn't ask God to speak to our hearts about it. Romans 12:1. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes our genuine expression of worship. You know, this hour of worship that we do on Sunday, that's not our only worship. That's just our only corporate worship. We worship God all throughout the week as living sacrifices. Our choices, again, reveal our hearts. That's our genuine expression of worship, how we choose to honor God throughout the week. So usually our dreams are too big. No. Usually our dreams are too small. God has big purposes for us to extend his kingdom. So as we submit our lives to him and become excited about seeing his dreams fulfilled, we're free to dream big dreams for our lives with him. Now, I've heard this asked before, and I'm sure you have too. If you could do something for God that could not fail, what would that be? Or do we even ask ourselves that question? I mean, are we even having that conversation with ourselves? If I could do something for God, what would it be if I knew it wouldn't fail? We should probably ask ourselves that question every day and see what God wants from us on a daily basis. Ephesians 3:20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. That's better than the energizing bunny. The Holy Spirit internally motivates us towards freedom, purity, and integrity. And that's just part of what the Holy Spirit does in us. If that is not happening, check yourself. Have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he wants to do on a daily basis for us. Motivate us to be free, pure, and be men and women of integrity. Philippians 2:13 says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. I call that spirit-filled living. In our freedom, if we sin or make mistakes, we must take responsibility for our actions. We can repent and reconcile with those affected. And we don't have to beat ourselves up about it. You know, repenting is really healthy for us. And I'm not saying doing like some other religions where they beat themselves with cords and go on a hunger strike. I'm just saying, have a conversation with yourself about the shortcoming that maybe that you just went through. Say, Lord, I want to change. Help me change. And again, sometimes we have to reconcile with those that we've affected. Don't be too proud to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, forgive me. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. So now we draw near freely and boldly to where grace is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. I just love the way Brian Simmons translates. He makes it so personal. Flowery, yes. Intimate, yes. When we are tempted to compromise our character and sin, we overcome by drawing from the power of the Holy Spirit and from our true identities as sons and daughters of God. That is why we need to know who we are in Christ. Because we can draw from the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face that you can bear it. I love that. He filters that for us. He keeps it from being too severe to take place in our lives. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it, final word, victoriously. He's not just going to bring you out of it. He's going to bring you out of it victoriously. There is a Selah mic drop time. First Corinthians 10:13. Passion. We have God-given needs, and we honor Him when we meet these needs in ways consistent with His heart, or when we freely and sacrificially lay them down by His grace. We don't always have to have our way, our need. Philippians 4:19 says, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Jesus Christ. So rather than trying to make something happen in our flesh, we simply trust God and His timing. Simply. Small word, big meaning. It's just simple. Just trust God with everything. Kind of flippant there. Freedom is not free. It costs the death of His Son. Now, this truth motivates us to protect and value our freedom for the precious gift that it is. That's the gift you protect the most, the freedom you have in Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver or gold, which actually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb, was sacrificed for us. The perfect price, our perfect Lord and Savior. As God's children, servants, and friends, we are not free to do whatever we want. Rather, we moderate our freedom to protect our connection with Him and with one another. I've heard the saying, hold it close to your vest. That's how we should hold our freedom. That we protect the connection that we have with God and with one another hold it close to your heart. Philippians 3:8. To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. In our freedom, we still live a life that is submitted to the Lord. James 4:7. So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will flee in agony. The Passion adds that, in agony. I love it. Our dependence is on him. I know that's one of the criticisms of Christianity. Oh, you use him as a crutch. No, our dependence is on the King of Kings. You know, the guy that created everything, the universe. I think Jacob was talking about the majesty that fills the universe, fills us. Perseverance is absolutely necessary to see dreams fulfilled. I think we hear that in a lot of testimonies from athletes or successful people. That word perseverance is always in there. Hebrews 12:1-3, a little long. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. That kind of helps. If you ever ran cross country, it helped to know where the markers were. We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. He paid it all. I think that's a short message, 4 words. It counts as a message. He paid it all. I guess I could find one scripture to throw it, and that would be considered a message. Life is not about getting everything we want. Instead, we use our freedom to love. John 15:13. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his love for his friends. We are all called to serve others, and in doing so, sometimes have to do things we do not feel like doing. There's another Selah moment on my page. 45 years of knowing Christ, at least once or twice, I found myself doing something for others I didn't want to do. I'm kidding, Lord. I don't know the actual amount of times, but God does. I'm not going to go there. And I'm not asking. But we do find ourselves doing those things. But it's because of the motivation of our love for him. First, you know, what message would be about love would be about without 1 Corinthians 4 through 7, 13, 4 through 7. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflates its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Verse 7, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Everything we'll ever need was dealt with at the cross. So we must come to a place of trusting Him in everything. Another simple statement. Everything we'll need if we simply trust Him for everything. I believe that's a key to a successful walk with Christ. Will we fall short? Yes. But, there's a but. But keep trusting, keep loving, and keep living. So I want to close with this testimony from the Kingdom Culture book. It's Gabe with no last name. Gabe V is the writer of this. He says, I remember listening to one of our pastors explain Matthew 7:14. Before I go any further, I'm going to read it. Matthew 7:14. But small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And there are few who find it. He goes on and says, he said something I had never heard before. He said, after you get through the gate, it's like a super highway of freedom. It was profound to me. You mean there's freedom in Jesus? For years I thought success in my relationship with the Lord was dependent on what I didn't do. There's the do's and don'ts. Basic Christianity 101 of legalism. I was a scared Christian. My only motivation was external. I didn't know I could make choices. I didn't know how to make choices. After that teaching, I began to understand that in the kingdom there is more freedom than I could ever imagine. God isn't controlling or demanding. His love is limitless. Jesus died to make me free, but with freedom comes responsibility. I realized it is my responsibility to steward the freedom He gives us. No longer was my life about what I didn't do, but it was about what I could do. As God taught me about my freedom, I began to grow in self-control. I found myself wanting to do what was best for my relationship with Him and not just do what I felt like when I wanted to do it in the moment. When I live in freedom, I may not always get what I want, but I choose what will connect me to the Father. I get more than I ever thought possible. Father, we choose to live in freedom because we know just how much You love us and the price that You paid to bring us that everlasting life with You. So Lord, we just lift up our hearts to You now. We ask you to search them. Speak to our hearts and to our minds in areas maybe that we just haven't totally got freedom in yet. Areas that we need to give over to you, that we need to trust you totally with. Might be our health. It might be our wealth. It might be relationships. Whatever it is that we haven't totally given to you, help us release it to you this morning. Increase our expectors when we get together with other Christians, Lord. When we speak to you quietly by ourselves, increase our expectations of all that you have for us. Help us to dream bigger, to be more creative, to be more free in you. So we ask you, Lord, to bless the rest of this day, wherever we go today, wherever we do today, Lord. We ask your blessings to be upon us. We just thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.